bless the congregation tonight. I'm so happy to see so many here tonight, so many visitors from different places. You'll get a real warm welcome from my brother Bob later on, but I just have to say this in the beginning, that we're so happy to have you with us here tonight at the beginning of our evangelistic service. So may the Lord bless you and really sing tonight, because the Park of Palms is noted for its singing, and let us hear what the Lord can do through you in singing these hymns. We're going to sing a chorus I think most of you know. His name is wonderful, and we're going to sing it twice through. Let us stand as we sing this chorus. His name is wonderful.
Now our brother, Mr. John Meyer, will lead us in prayer. Mr. Meyer.
Shall look to the Lord. O God, our Father, we bow our heads and our hearts in thy presence this evening and thank thee for the theme of our song tonight. We thank thee, our Father, for these words above us. Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank thee for each one here who can indeed say that they have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. But, Father, we have been singing about the way in the last hymn, Look to the Lamb of God. We remember the words of John the Baptist standing by the River Jordan. He saw the Lord Jesus coming, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. O God, we thank thee that that is still true tonight. We can see that the Lord Jesus Christ is standing with arms outstretched, beckoning to all who are without him to come unto him and find rest, find peace, find eternal life through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary. We thank thee for this, the beginning of the gospel crusade tonight. We thank thee for bringing our other Sven Christensen with us. And our Father, we have had much prayer for this campaign, and we believe and are expecting to see blessing in the salvation of precious souls, in the edification and building up of the church, which is his body, in this local testimony. Heavenly Father, we commit him and each one of us to thee. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God may have free course in our meeting tonight. May the wiles of the wicked one be defeated. Grant our Father that Satan will not have his way in snatching away the good seed of the Word of God, but grant that it may bear forth and bring forth fruit for thine eternal honor and glory. For we ask it in the worthy name of he who indeed is worthy, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Now, just a very few brief announcements. We're very, very happy to have friends with us. We give you a great welcome. We'd like you to get to know more about Park of the Palms and our very wonderful Christian fellowship here. We'd like you to sign our guest book, please, at the back. On the way out, on the right, there's a guest book. If you sign that, that'll give us your address so that we can send you sometime and tell you about our special meetings here. We've been planning for a long time and praying for a long time about this week's special meeting. When I contacted our brother, Mr. Sven Christensen, he was way up in Canada, and he was a very busy man. But he just had this week anyhow, and he said he'd give it to us. He couldn't come this morning because he was preaching in Orlando this morning, and he'd have to do that again next Sunday morning. But he said, we can give you every evening. So then, every night this week, not Saturday, but every other night this week, including next Sunday night, our brother, Mr. Sven Christensen, will be preaching the gospel to you. Now we want you to let people know. We have a lot of these little invitation cards. They're out there on the desk as you go out. take them with you and give them to your friends so that we can get people to know. Listen to the radio each day, Way Radio and Stark Radio. You'll find announcements about these special meetings. We want everybody around to know. We've had a telephone calling service going most of the week, and I believe practically everybody in Keystone Heights who has a telephone has been called. And I must tell you, practically everybody, well, perhaps 80% of those who were called said, yes, I'll come. So pray that they'll just do just that, you know. Anyhow, pray that those who said, there were one or two said, I can't, no, I'm not coming. Pray that God will make them come. That's all we want. We want to see God save souls here this week. Park of the Palms is a wonderful fellowship. We have we have tremendous Bible ministry here during our winter months, well, all the year, but during our winter months conference. But we do feel that we lack one thing. That's our gospel outreach. And that's why we have organized these meetings this week, to make contact with the friends around us to preach the gospel. So the meetings every night then this week. Now we're baptizing all this work with prayer. So every afternoon at 2:30, there'll be a men's prayer meeting here in the chapel. Perhaps there'll be only two of us here. Oh, during the week there's been lots more than that. But anyhow, every afternoon at 2:30, a men's prayer meeting for a few minutes to ask God's blessing on these meetings. I think there'll be a women's prayer meeting, but we haven't got the details yet on that. However, every Tuesday morning at 9:30 in the chapel is a men's prayer meeting, and every Tuesday morning at 10:30 in the lounge, a women's prayer meeting. This is regular every week, all the year round, and we want you to join us. Men here at 9:30 and the women in the lounge at 10:30 for prayer. Now this Tuesday, is the second Tuesday in the month, and this is always a special day at Park of the Palms, because on the second Tuesday in the month, we celebrate all the birthdays of those who have a birthday in that month. So our birthday dinner will be at noon, 12 o'clock noon, on Tuesday in the dining room. We want you to come and join us. We have many reservations already, but we'll have enough food for you, even if you don't make reservations, so please come along and join us. This is always a very happy occasion. When we celebrate our birthdays and our wedding anniversaries in the dining room on the second Tuesday of the month. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night, God willing. We have plenty of these bills, I told you, and plenty of the posters. Now, if you haven't got one on the backside windows of your car, or you want two for that, get hold of them on the way out and get them on so that as you travel around, people will know about these meetings. And if you know of anyone who can put them in their window or in a shop front window, they're out there for you to take and use. I think these are all our announcements. It's a joy to have everyone here. We're going to sing again. Mr. Anderson here has other special part. And then after that, our brother Sven Christensen. Mr. Christensen, I think you know what country he comes from. And do you know how I remember what country he comes from? His wife calls him her Great Dane. So he comes from Denmark. Came over as a boy to Canada. And while serving in the Canadian Royal Air Force, lying on his back one night in his bunk, I think in Egypt, God saved him. And he dedicated his life to the Lord and came back home. Went to Emmaus Bible School, where he met his very lovely wife, Rhoda, and they were married, and they have served the Lord full-time ever since. Did a great work up in the maritime provinces of Canada, Prince Edward Island, and Nova Scotia, and so on. I was at Orlando when we invited Sven to come to Orlando, and he's been working there now for some 10, 12 years, and God is greatly blessed their ministry down there. It's a joy, Sven, to have you with us, and we're looking forward to a wonderful week. Thank you.
Turn in your hymn book to number 29. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And after we sing the song, we're going to be favored with a special song from Mrs. Roberts.
Greetings. Hope you're all happy here tonight. Of course, if you're not saved, you couldn't be happy. If you're really saved, then it's a wonderful, wonderful life. Now I want to, these next 7 nights, speak on various subjects, and I want you to help me. If you can guess the different Bible characters I'm going to speak on. I think if we get someone that gets all the answers right, Brother Wheatley, we'll have to give them some token of reward or something like that for the bookstore. Now tonight, it's going to be very easy. Let's speak about, and I think only speak on one of them, but we'll mention two of them. I'm going to make it easy for you. They're both found in the book of Genesis. Men that lost great possessions. Two men. Tomorrow night, Lord willing, I'm going to speak on two markers comparing the lessons from them. Two markers. Two men that died. One in the old and one in the new. Tuesday night, this is something you nearly all know. Two men who went to heaven without dying. That's easy, isn't it? Wednesday night, the two chief of sinners. One in the old and one in the new. Two chief of sinners. You may not agree with me, but I'm going to be right this time. As to who they are. Then Thursday night, three fools of the Bible. And these men have names. Not just the man in Psalm 14, the fool that said in heart there's no God. That's not the one. Three men. Friday night, I want to speak about two ships. We're reading the characters in this particular case, but two ships and the lesson. One in the old and one in the new. And then, next Sunday night, Lord willing, two Jewish kings on whom God pronounced and executed judgment. Two Jewish kings on whom God pronounced and executed judgment. Now, who have the men for tonight? Two men. The boat in Genesis. Huh? Men, the one man lost a great inheritance. Adam. And the other one was Esau. Okay. Wouldn't you agree with that? All right, Genesis chapter 3, please. Esau was called a profane person. You remember, he sold his birthright. And when he tried to get it back, though he sought it with tears, it was of no avail. What a lesson. But in Genesis chapter 3, this foundation chapter of the Bible. The whole Genesis chapter 3 has more far-reaching consequences than any other chapter in the Bible. We feel the effect of it today. 1F. Man has felt the repercussions of that one act ever since. Oh, what it brought in. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou cursest above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, how greatly multiply thy sorrow, and in thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. This is a tremendous chapter telling us how man became the way he is today. Sinner, rebel, away from God. Explaining to us where all the thistles and thorns and the weeds and all the tests and everything else comes from. All dates back to this chapter. I remember reading a story many years ago. It took place over in England. The doctor had for a neighbor a gardener. That was in the month of June. The gardener, he was out there working in his garden, and it was a stuffy evening. He was hoeing away, working in the garden, and perspiration was running down his face. And as the doctor came by, he heard him saying, Bother Adam, Bother Adam, Bother Adam. God said, what's the matter? He said, neighbor, what did Adam do? What if it weren't for Adam, we wouldn't have those weeds. Wouldn't have all this work to do. Well, he said, if you'd been in Adam's place, you'd have done what he did. No, sir, I wouldn't have. I've been content in all that lovely surroundings that God put him in. By the way, neighbor, I've been intending to have you over for tea some evening. And that gardener looked up with a smile, oh, delightful. He knew what a good cook, you know, the doctor had over there, and what food he put on his table, a tremendous spread. So they set the date, and on the appointed day, the gardener gave name to the doctor, all blessed up, and the table was spread with every goodie imaginable on on that table, large table, heavily set. And it was a balmy June evening, the wind was blowing in through the screen windows, and they sat down there in a delightful setting. And after the doctor had given thanks, the gardener noticed right in front of the doctor was a little silver dish with a cover on it. And the first thing he wondered was, what's he got in there? So the doctor said to the guy, after you give him thanks, now help yourself. Everything here at this table, I want you to just enjoy yourself, with the exception of this little fish here. This is a little thing for me. Well, it bothered him. He thought, well, what's he keeping from me anyway? After a while, the maid came to the door and called the doctor that he was wanted, and he excused himself, and as he left, now he says, good friend, remember, just help yourself. Really enjoy yourself. Remember that dish, that's mine. Well, he could hardly contain himself. I wonder what's in there. What could he be keeping from me anyway? Well, it wouldn't hurt to look. He reaches over, he picks up the dish. And as he picks up the dish, the wind blows and it sweeps the feathers all over the table. Feathers all over the food. And he's busy trying to pick them up, and the door opens and the doctor comes in. And he points at him. He says, hello, Adam. This is the heart of man. I wouldn't do it. My friend, we're not only sinners because we're sinners through Adam, but we're sinners by nature. Now I want you to notice a few things here. First, the scene of this first sin was a beautiful garden. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. A beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. Anything imaginable was there for the good of man. One prohibition, however, that one tree you must not eat of it. But everything else was there for their good. And I believe, friends, the climate was just perfect. Everything was just perfect for man. He was in an ideal situation. Couldn't have been better. How different from the place where all Lord Jesus was tempted. Wilderness. A hot place. Where he was hungered after 40 days. Everything was sort of against him. But this was not so. This was an ideal situation. Showing that even then the heart of man is not satisfied with the things that he put at it. Now then, secondly, the source of this first sin. Notice in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. That personal tempter, personal devil. He came in the form of the serpent and later on, of course, in the book of Revelation, he called that old, the devil, the old serpent. Showing the subtlety of him, the deceitfulness of this person. The trickery of him. And I want you to notice this tragedy. He came to the woman when the man was not around. He attacked a weaker vessel. He had once cast doubt on the word of God, yea, hath God said. And the devil is still doing it. He's casting doubt on the word of God. God doesn't mean what he says. Like a preacher one time kept on saying that. He said, now this is not just what it means, and he's going to say what he thought it meant.
The little girl afterwards asked her, well, preacher, could I ask you a question? Yes, dear. He said that if God didn't mean what he said, then why didn't he say what he meant? That's rather good, wasn't it? And God says exactly what he means here. This is God's word. And this is something you can depend on. By one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so death is upon all men, because all men have sinned. God's word is true forever, Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word abideth forever. Don't you let anyone put any question in your mind regarding the word of God. It'll stand. It's dependable. It's reliable. Something you can believe. And he cast doubt on the word of God. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of any tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the servant, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but... Now you notice here, this woman, she now changes the word a little bit. Now the Satan, he would question the word of God. He'd get us to question it. He'd get us to question the goodness of God. You know, the next thing he says, and I want to just bring that in too, was, you know, if you would eat of this, you would become like God. God is holding something back from you. Like that man thought about this silver dish. He thought this man was keeping something back from him. He wasn't satisfied with the well-spread table. Same as he would happen to the prodigal son. Some of his companions, somebody else's, convinced him, your father and your home, they're holding things back from you. You want to get out and enjoy life and live it up and have a good time and really see what life is all about. They're holding you down. They're keeping things away from you. And you know the story of the prodigal son. He found out what a fool he was when he was in that far country in rags, starving, wishing he was one of his father's hired servants. My friend, God wants the very best for you. God is absolutely good. And then something else, he questioned God's punishment too. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God is such a God of love, you know. He wouldn't punish anybody. He wouldn't send anybody into hell. I haven't got time to go into tonight, but we will one of these nights as we're dealing with these two kings to show that God will keep his word. When he says something, he'll perform it. And the moment, my friend, Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually, just like God said. Later on, they died physically. The word of God says, the soul that sinned, it shall die. That means separation from God. Well, Satan tried to deceive the woman, and he did. He cast doubt on the word of God. He cast doubt on the goodness of God. He cast doubt on the judgment of God. And she believes him. Don't you do it. Because God's word is going to come to pass. Goodness of God has been made manifest because of man's sin. God sent his only son into the world to seek and to save the lost. And it says, he that believeth not is condemned already. He says, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abided on him. And that wrath will come to pass. The rich man woke up in hell, being in torment. The word of God is always come to pass. So we have the source of that sin was Satan, how he seduced them. Now notice, the first sin was a willful violation of a clear command. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. There was a willful disobedience. God had told them they were not to eat. And she went in complete disobedience against the word of God. She took. She ate. She first saw it, she took, and she ate. That's how sin works. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. The same with Achan. He first saw that wedge of gold and the goodly Babylonians come. He saw it. He decided. He took it. What was the result? What was the outcome? And his sin was found out. He was taken out and stoned. And so God was true to his word. When they disobeyed the word of God, some terrible consequences happen. And I want just to go on into that. There's so much here, I'm just skimming over it. But notice the sad consequences from verse 7 right down. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. They came to realize that in God's presence now they were naked. And they sold fig leaves together and made themselves able. Now that's the first effort of man to try to cover himself before God. This is what man has been doing ever since. He's been sowing fig leaves on himself, trying to fit himself for God's presence. You know, they covered them each, all right, for each other. The fig leaves. But when they heard God coming walking in the cool of the day in the garden, they hid themselves among the trees, and God called out to them, "Where are you?" And they said, "We hid ourselves." And they, why did they hide? They said they were naked. The covering they had made, they realized God's sight was not sufficient. And tonight, when you've been sowing your own fig leaves on, it may be your religion, may join in the church, getting baptized, doing good deeds, trying to keep the golden rule, being kind to your neighbors, giving to charity, whatever these fig leaves are, my friend, in God's presence, they'll not be sufficient. You'll stand before him as though you have nothing on. Nothing but filthy legs. So the first thing sin brought was shame. For shame to themselves. And sin always brings shame. Brings dishonor, brings disgrace. Breaks people's health. Breaks their character. That's why there's no respect even for themselves. And oh, what a day we live in today. We have gone a long way down the scale as we're getting farther and farther into the great apostasy. People can no longer blush. People are no more ashamed of living in open sin. Standards of righteousness are gone. But man pressed from the hand of God. As he sinned, he was first ashamed. And sin will always bring shame and dishonor. And heartbreak and sadness, it always does. And it produces a self-work, you know, self-covering. Now people are still doing that. And I talk to many people individually. And I say something like this to them, Supposing you died today, and you came up to heaven's gate, and the Lord said, now why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? You know, you'd be surprised how many people would say, well, you know, I think that because I have lived a good life, and I've done this, and I've done this, and the other thing, you know, that I don't have too bad a chance. I said, now supposing I get up to the heaven's door. And the Lord says, now why should I let you into heaven? I tell him, well, I've been a preacher for 25 years, preaching the Bible and counseling people and trying to help people and so on and on and on. What do you think the Lord would say to me? Well, you should be all right. No, sir. If I get up there with all this, God has said you have nothing but a big pile of filthy rags on. All your righteousness are filthy rags according to the Bible. The longer you live, the bigger the pile. The more good works you do, the bigger the pile. Would it surprise you, my friend, if I told you to get into heaven, you have to be absolutely perfect. You say there's no one perfect, that's right. But God has a way to make you perfect in His sight. Thank God. There's only one way to be made perfect. And it's not by your self-covering. Well, I'll get to that. How you can be made perfect. I don't want to see how to come there at the end. Something else that sin brought in, it was, you know, shifting the blame. Look at verse 11. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gave me. Huh? Husbands are still doing this. We get it on it, don't we? Get it from Adam. What's he doing here? He's blaming God and he's blaming the woman. It's the woman you gave me. If it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't have been in this mess. It's so hard to get an honest person to admit their sinners. If you go into penitentiaries and you talk to most of the prisoners, and they'll all tell you their sad story. Somebody else did something, you know, that got them involved, but it's never their fault. They're not a good person, you know, in an unfortunate circumstance. Ever hear about that? Very, very few will admit their guilt. It's the woman you gave me. My friend, if you want to be saved tonight, the first thing you have to own up. That's one thing God loved about David. David, when he did something wrong, he said, I've sinned. When the prodigal went to the far country and came to the end of his belt, he said, I have sinned. That's what you have to do. He that covered up his sins will never prosper. So he passed the buck. What did the woman do? The serpent. She's no better. Sinners are sinners. You ever see some people having an accident? They always blame the other fellow nearly, and if it wasn't that, it was something else. I live in the cell. Yeah, now take the blame. Remember one time I had an accident. I don't know whether this was an accident or not, but somebody came along and said, whose fault was that? It's mine. He looked at me. He says, I never heard anyone say that before. I don't mean that I was so good that I admitted my fault, but it just happened to be that way. But man's nature to pass the buck. But my friend, as far as God's concerned, you cannot pass the buck. You are guilty. You're a sinner. Unless you admit it, you can't be saved. Then is what suffering. Verse 16. Down to verse 19. The woman saw pain and conception. husband to rule over us. Sin brings sorrow and pain, toil. What if ain't the man? Crown is cursed. In the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread. Sin brought terrible things in. Brought a cursed ground. The Lord Jesus, in order to pay for that, had to be hung on the cross and cursed as everyone that hanging on the tree. He had made a curse for us. Man, by his sin, brought the curse. Jesus bare the curse in his own body on the tree. The ground should bring forth thorns and thistles. When they crucified our blessed Lord, they crowned him in mockery with a crown of thorns. Produced because of man's sin that brought those thorns to pass from a cursed ground. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death, says the Lord Jesus. Sin brought death, and he had to take the skin of faith and die for you and for me, alone and forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's no one to pass it on to. There's only one that could stand and fill the gap. Jesus is the only one that could do it. That could take the curse and the pain and the suffering and all that before the man brought in because of his sin. Great sweat, drops of sweat fell into the ground in the garden against any of those big drops of blood. And as he hung on the cross, he from his head, his hands, his feet, that precious blood flowed. Your sin, my sin, put him there. His love made him come, of course. When the Father said, whom shall I send? Whom will I go? Or who will go? Jesus answered, here am I, send me. I delight to do thy will, O God. That body hath thou prepared for me. And he came in the volume of the book as it was written of him. And then the cross and that body, he took all that ichabod and shame for you and for me. He tasted death for every man. Yes, sin brought separation too. Look at verse 23 and 24. And the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken, so he drove out the man. The Sunday school children were asked to draw a picture of this scene. And being Mormon children, some of them didn't get quite the thought that God had in mind. One boy drew a picture of a car with God in the front seat and Adam and Eve in the back seat and driving them out. That's not how he drove them out. Sin separates. Sin brings death, which is separation. If you're not saved, it brings a second death, being separation from God. I'm glad that God is a great God of love, because he's a searching God. Notice verse 9, I just want to just mention this. And the Lord God called on Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God, in a sense, would have said, I'm going to just destroy them and start over again. But Adam was, and Eve was loved by God. God loved them, and God said, where art thou? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because as you try to dress up yourself and it's not good enough, but I'll provide a covering for you. Look at verse 21. And unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, my friend, in order to get coats of skin, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be bloodshed. Life has to be given or taken. But animals are taken. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, the life was given. No man taketh it from me, I lay it down on myself. The Son of God who loved me, he gave himself for me. Isn't that the wonderful thing? All the sacrifice in the Old Testament, they were dragged to the altar resisting. For the Lord Jesus, he was led willingly, as a lamb was led to the slaughter, not resisting, however. He gave himself for him. And in order for him to provide the robe of righteousness, the garment of the salvation, he had to die for us, to shed his precious blood. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a righteousness. Now there's the answer. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The Bible says he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus. Let me illustrate it with my glasses. These glasses represent you, or they represent me, man. All the sin and come short of the glory of God. If you lived ever so religiously all your life, you could never, never become perfect. You have to be perfect to get into God's presence. Here on this side, you have the Lord Jesus, absolutely perfect. He died for us. He shed his blood. He's gone back into heaven. But in dying for us and in his resurrection, he provided for us a robe of righteousness. He provided for us a perfect righteousness. Now, friend, if you tonight will admit your sinner, and you'll ask the Lord Jesus to become your Savior and your righteousness, you can say with the hymn writer, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in thee. That's it. What do you see now? Christ. You don't see Sven Christensen any longer in his own righteousness. On his sin, you see him in the righteousness of Christ. God is me in Jesus, accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that wonderful? He restored that which he took not away. And tonight you can have this glorious, free salvation by coming to him. I see my time is gone. Willing the ascending about Esau, I'll just say this. Esau represents a man who has a precious soul. He trades with it. He sold it. Once that soul is lost, my friend, no tears of remorse can redeem that soul. There's a picture of that. Once your soul is lost, as the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for that soul? There's none of it. Once that soul is lost, it's lost. Now is the time to be saved. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden up your heart. Be honest tonight. Confess you're a sinner. That you're lost. You have no righteousness of your own. But Lord Jesus, save me and make me thy child. Make me righteous in God's sight. Give me thy righteousness. Put your righteousness on my account. And he will. The moment